Stopped in for a minute, and he said, "I have this impression from God for you. Your church is going to get another pastor." Well, of course, he had my attention right away. And he said, "And it's going to be you." Well, that really got my attention, because I thought, well, I guess there's some changes coming along. And in the church, things were not going as well as we had hoped. I don't remember exactly what was going on. There may have been some conflict going on at the time. You know how that goes sometimes. That happens. But the idea God was getting across to me with his visit was this. I would be further transformed during that time. And of course, that happens all the time with the Spirit of God. But this was a season where that was going to increase. And as it went on, I began to realize the things I love about ministry and fellowship would not go away, but they would also be transformed and made new, at least for me during that time. It began at that time that I started learning about discipleship more clearly. Something was transforming within me as well as within the church. And there is a very real way in which that is what happens to us when we engage with the risen Jesus. He makes us and all things new. And that's an excellent thing to have happen in our lives. Even if you're against change, it's still an excellent thing to have happen in our lives. And it's a very different thing than if God were to make all new things. I prefer that God makes all things new. That means we get included in that. All that goes wrong, anything that's harmed you, all that demeans, all that never comes true, Jesus makes that new. And we see this in one of the things Peter and John did right after discovering that Jesus had physically risen from the dead. They went back home. Did you catch that in the gospel reading? They went back to their homes. A somewhat odd thing, I think. If you had discovered Jesus had risen from the dead, you might stop in on somebody else first and tell them all about it. But they went home. And what they discovered was this. They both ran to the tomb because Mary Magdalene had discovered that the tomb was empty. And so she told them, and off they went. And they run to see Jesus, John getting there first, because he's a little bit of a younger man. And then Jesus looks in, but Peter, being a more impulsive man, goes right in. And he sees what's there. There's no sign of Jesus in the tomb at all, but the grave clothes are there. Then John went in, and it says he saw and believed. And he discovered that before he had not believed that this could happen. Now he did. He looked for it, he wanted it, but believing it, trusting in it, standing on it, something shifted when he went in and saw the empty grave. He began to understand the scriptures about the resurrection, and that would be the Old Testament scriptures, because there was no New Testament at that time. So John and Peter discovered the physical resurrection of Jesus and their own deeper belief and their own deeper understanding. They had grasped all of that. And as we mentioned, what they did right after that is they went home. They went back to their familiar ways. They went to the place Jesus had done miracles and taught. They went back to the place they had gone to when they were confused or heartbroken and feeling lost about some things concerning Jesus. Like Peter's denial of Jesus. that still may have been haunting him with some guilt. He went back there, back to that place. But something was happening in their hearts. The old ways were becoming new. The belief and the understanding they had was maturing. It was becoming what it was meant to be. As Jesus kept appearing to them and to others with them, like Mary Magdalene later that morning, like Jesus again later that evening with them, when the two on the road to Emmaus encountered Jesus, when Jesus met them again with Thomas a week later, all of that was continuing to deepen their faith, deepen their transformation, make the old things that held them back become something new that was going to be the doorways into the life that Jesus had for them. Forgiveness, hope, anticipation, things that we cannot manufacture on our own were being delivered to them because of the resurrection. They saw it and received it in the empty tomb. Now we can look today and see that Jesus is risen from the dead. We can see that he is no longer held by death and hell or anything that holds us. We can see that he gives us faith and understanding, and we become new and our lives take on new patterns. There's things that we hope in that we never let go of, but maybe can't reach. It is the power of the resurrection that enables us and empowers us and transforms us to reach those things that we hope in, the things that we desire deeply. Whether it's reconciliation, whether it's forgiveness, whether it's justice, whether it's healing, well, no matter what it is, that which we cannot get by ourselves, it is the empty tomb, the engagement with the resurrected Jesus that brings us to the place and the power where those things can happen. And even today as we go home, what may come to our minds that today, in addition to this joyful time of getting together after a long time, you may find yourself going back to some of the older patterns. You go back to the place where there's some sweet memories as well as some awful regrets, where we had hopes that were wonderfully fulfilled and dreams we think we'll never see come true, where we grew and became better, and then where we fell and found it so hard to get back up. All those things may be going through our minds. But all those times, those precious times in our lives, they just don't go away. They just don't stop. They die and they rise again in the same path as Jesus, because our hearts die and rise again in the same path of Jesus. Because when we look into the empty tomb and see that he is not there, that he has risen just as he said, then things about us that hold us back are broken, the chains are broken off, and we can go into the new places that Jesus has designed and prepared for us. They all become new. As we look into that empty tomb and receive the power of the resurrection, the drives and motivations of our hearts become new again. And we become new in him, so that what he always wanted us to be, what we were created to be, comes to life. And just as death could not hold Jesus back, so nothing can hold any of his desire for us back as well. So my question to you this morning, this Easter morning, this regathering outside after more than a year, my question to you is this: what is Jesus making new in you as you look at the empty tomb today? What hope is being reignited? What reconciliation is being empowered? What forgiveness is being released? What dream is being rekindled? What form that take for you and for me and for us together in St. Francis as we move from this point on? Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, we thank you and praise you for all that you are doing among us. We thank you that you have risen from the dead. We ask that in this season, this day, this time of our lives, and our life together, that which you wish to make new would today be made new. The glory of your name. Amen.
Amen.
Would you please